Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen, amen. It's such a wonderful day. This being our first Sunday, I really give you an A for making up here early. I know for some of you it's a stretch if you're not morning people, but you know what? You're going to catch up with this time. I think it's going to be a good time. If we can be here, actually, if we can be here earlier than 10, I know you can be here if you want to. If you can be here earlier than 10, that like being here at 9, so that we can soak this place with the presence of the Lord. Amen? It will be wonderful. And remember, there was a time we used to go to a church back in the day at 6 in the morning. It was required by our bishop that we all needed to be in the church by 6. And let me tell you, if you are a member of the worship team and you are never there by 6 to come and intercede and pray, you'd never sing. And I guess we need to go back to those days whereby, I mean, it was all done, you know, in love and in a commitment to the Lord. Amen? And those are the things that helped us, you know, to be who we are today. That, you know, if I'm asked to go to a meeting or to come to church early, I don't think it's an issue for me at all. And so you get that when you get trained, you know, and I believe this is a great opportunity even for us to come and serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to bring the word of the Lord this morning, and I don't have a specific verse that I'll tell you to turn into, but we'll check into several scriptures even as we get along into what the Lord has laid in my spirit for us today. And this is what the Lord told me when I was preparing to tell us this day, that we are bigger than anything that can happen to us. Amen? You are bigger than anything that can happen to you. There are circumstances and issues as we get along in life that we encounter and seemingly appear to derail our progress in the Lord. And to be honest with you, I really thank God for the words that he said when he was about to leave. And he said, in this earth, you're going to have trouble and tribulations. But cheer up, because I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Amen? So it doesn't matter whatever problems or whatever issues or whatever messages that we receive that seem to derail our faith or seem to that seem to be so hard and circumstances and issues. But God is so awesome, because he has set in place, even from the creation of the universe, he has set in place things that would perpetuate themselves and orchestrate themselves. You know, in other words, when he said, let there be plants and let there be animals and let there be whatever the Lord said, let there be, and it was, he set a system in place whereby he didn't have to come and say those things again. Amen? Like when he said, let there be animals, you know, and let them reproduce. He set a system whereby animals will reproduce and they would occur, and he knew that there would be challenges. And he set in place a system whereby there would be a counterbalance of everything that would be on planet Earth. Praise the Lord. But I'm here today to tell you that you're bigger than anything that would happen to you. There's no circumstance, there's no trouble, there's no report, there's no temptation, there's no issue that will ever come to you that God is to handle. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter number 18, verse number 32, I like this portion of this scripture when I read it. The Bible says, it is God who arms us with strength and keeps us and keeps our way secure. It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Amen? Hallelujah. There are so many things in this world that we are not able to do, or we think that we can do. But the moment you realize that it is the Lord who gives us strength to do whatever it is that God has entrusted us to do, you realize that he is the one who gives my arms the strength. Amen? And whatever way that I'm walking on, he makes sure that that way is secure as well. Praise the Lord. It is him who arms it is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. Amen. God sometimes allows challenges to come in our life. You know, there are situations that you'd wonder, how would this issue or circumstance hit me as a child of God? But God sometimes would allow challenges and problems to come our way. And what problems and circumstances do to our lives is to invoke a great ingenuity that He put in us when He created us. There are things that are within us that you are not able to physically see, that are able to energize us and are able to make us overcome whatever circumstances or issues that we encounter in life. In other words, in every living human, God has placed a potential to overcome. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is something that is so unique that if God would allow you or give you access consistently, even as you sojourn on this planet, there would be no problem, no issue that would be able to stand before you that you'd not be able to conquer. I was reading somewhere last night, and there was, I think it's a statement trending online, and I was trying to say, what is the greatest challenge of a human being? What is the greatest challenge you have as a person? And this is what they were saying. The greatest challenge there can ever be in a human being is to identify who you are. Amen? That is the greatest challenge that you can ever have as a person. To identify what you are made up of. Amen? Because when you identify, when you know who you are, there are no issues, there are no problems, there are no circumstances that you cannot overcome. Praise the Lord. And throughout the Bible, and even in the patterns of faith, we find God intervening even in the lives of people who went through difficult situations. And we are going to go through some of these people, you know, in a minute. But you see, that is one of the greatest challenges. I mean, if you can come to a place whereby you know who you are made of, and you know whose you are, and you know the capabilities that you have, I am telling you the truth that there would be nothing that would stand in your way. And this is the other thing that they were saying, that the second greatest challenge in a human being is when you discover who you are, or whose you are, or what you are made of, to leave that legacy of, or rather accomplishing or living the life of what you have just discovered. You know, for example, if you have discovered that you're a giant killer, leaving a legacy so that you can encounter any giant in your life. Amen? And there's no one in this auditorium or in this room here today who has missed challenges. As a matter of fact, there are some of you right now, or some of us, who are facing challenges, and you are calling on God, and you are wondering how you can get a solution to come around this problem that is an enigma to your life. The fact of the matter is, nothing gets God by surprise. He understands what you're going through. Amen? He understands any problem that you encounter. He is the one who put you together. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah 32, verse 27, hear what the Bible says. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And he asks this question, and he says, is there anything that is too hard for me? Amen? I am the God of all humankind. And he poses this question through prophet Jeremiah, and he asks him, is there anything that is too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for our God? Is there any problem that he is not able to solve? Is there any mountain that he is not able to conquer? It is true that there are mountains, when we look at them, they are so huge and so problematic, and we wouldn't even know how we would begin even to soar and to climb those mountains. But God poses a question, as he says, is there anything that is too hard for our God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for our God. If only we can commit our lives to the Lord. If only we can sell ourselves completely and completely surrender our lives to God and tell God, I do not want to run my life, but I want you to run it. Because I know when you run it, I am going to encounter mountains. I'm going to encounter some challenges. I'm going to encounter issues and difficult situations. But the Bible tells me that it's anything that is too hard for you. So when I have surrendered my life to you, I know that there is no mountain that you're not going to help me to conquer or soar. Amen. Is there anything that is too hard for God? Praise be to God. You are bigger than anything that will ever happen to you. In recent times, there has been challenges and there has been reports of people being deported. You might maybe in the classification of people who may not have legal documents in this land. And you know, every time you go to bed, you cannot even find sleep. You cannot even go to work. And every time you're pulling up from your house and you're driving, you don't know whether a policeman is going to stop you. You know, I am here to assure you that there is nothing too hard for God. And the God who has sustained you is able to protect you no matter where you are, no matter who you are, no matter where you are. Amen? Praise the Lord. People can be rounded. People will be rounded up in different places. But I know the God that you serve is able to protect you. Is there anything that is too hard for God? It could be maybe a challenge that you'll be having at your workplace. And everybody seems to be coming against you. It could be maybe a budgetary issue in your home whereby you don't seem to make both ends meet because you have less money and more things to pay for it. I am here to tell you, as God says, is there anything that is too hard for our God? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hey, hallelujah. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. The Bible in the book of Jeremiah chapter number 33, verse number 3. Listen to what this Bible says. Beautiful scripture. Call to me and I will answer you. Praise the Lord. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Call unto me. Hallelujah. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. That means there are things, no matter how you try to work out on a problem, you will never know how to go about it. There are certain things come into your life and you take solution. Certain things, even as a church, we are not connected to our God. We will try to go around an issue and a problem over and over and over again, but not until we call upon the name of the Lord. That when we call the Lord to answer us, and He'll be able to show us those things that we do not know. My prayer for us is that we may be callers of the kingdom of heaven. That whenever we encounter problems, that whenever there are issues in our life, we'll look for friend and tell us for help with the help. God knows what we need now. He knows what your husband needs now. He knows what my children needs right now. He knows exactly. He has a blueprint of what we need right now. He has everything. Call on me and I'll answer you. Hallelujah. Are there things that you're struggling with recently? Are there things that, you know, that have held you back, you know, from progressing? And every time you want to make a progress, there is these things that pulls you back. I am here to give you an answer to your problem. Call upon the Lord. The Bible says that He is omnipotent, means all-powerful God. There is no power that is ever known in the universe or in the earth that doesn't belong to God. Amen? Omniscience means that He is all-knowing God. Amen? In other words, there is no knowledge in the whole universe. There is no knowledge that is yet to be known by men. You know, there are things that are yet to be discovered by men. You know that? Men are still discovering things. Every discovery that man makes does God by surprise. Because he say, oh, I already knew that. And I predicted that this will be discovered. I'll make it known to the humans in the year 2019. So in the year 2019, maybe there will be an automobile that will cause us to fly and to cruise over streets without even experiencing jams. But you know, God decides, He says, you know what, I'll make them know this in 2019. And so when they discover it, it will be, you know, but in heaven, it will not be any breaking news. Because God says, I knew this even before I founded the earth. And I knew that I would unleash it to the human beings in the year 2019. Praise the Lord. So there are things that God knows everything. God, man, I wish you see what thing that if whatever I am going through, all I need is to call upon the name of the Lord. All I need is to connect with my God. All I need is to call upon Him. And when He answers me, He will be able to reveal things that I do not know. Things that you do not know. There are so many things, Pastor Chi, that you do not know. But the moment you connect with God, people will be wondering, how is this person wise like this? You know, have you ever been to a meeting and somebody speaks and you wonder, how are they speaking this knowledge? Where did they get this knowledge? You know, it may have come through books, but it may have come through whatever. But if somebody is connected to God, oh my God, they will have unsearchable knowledge. They will have unlimited resource, so that you'd always be wanting to stay close to them. Because they are tapping from the unlimited resource that is in God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, let us be connected to God. For He has every answer to our problems. Amen. Could be going through temptations. Listen to what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. I know you have read this and maybe you've had it quoted, but maybe you've never read it so slowly so that you can understand it. This is what the Bible says. No temptation has overcome you except what is common to mankind. In other words, when you are tempted, that temptation is not uncommon to mankind. Somebody else has gone through that temptation. Praise the Lord. And He says, and God is faithful. Hallelujah. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. How do you like a God like that? That even when you are tempted, He'll make a way out of it. He will show you how you're going to endure it. You know, He will create a way even through that, through whatever you're going through. Praise the Lord. Bible in the book of Psalms 37, verse number 5. The Bible says, commit thine ways unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. In other words, get connected to God. Tell Him what your issues are. You know, let me tell you, sometimes it's so easy to share our issues with people, and you have not even shared those issues with God. Hallelujah. It is very easy to pick up a phone and call somebody. How do you do this problem? How do you do this? How do you do that? I receive calls every time, you know, in the areas of my expertise and seem to be so friendly, you're also going to receive so many phone calls from people. And I'm not saying that is bad, because God can use another person to help another person. But I think the first stage, whenever you encounter an issue or a quagmire or a problematic issue in your life, the first place we need to go is on our knees and tell God, I don't understand about what is happening within me. About this problem. I don't even have the solutions to counter this problem that I'm facing right now. Amen? And this is God who says in His word here, that commit your ways unto the Lord and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen? So if you do not have any documents in America, all you need to do is go bow to the Lord. Lord, you understand my problem. Before I speak, the Bible tells me, before I speak, you already know what I'm just about to tell you. And so, Lord, can you tell me how I'm going to solve this issue? Can you really help me in this issue? I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't have any other person that I can go to. But God, can you help me in this issue? And you quickly realize, the first thing that God does when you do that is that He gives you peace. Peace that tells you that everything is going to be okay. Amen? There's nothing more than peace. I mean, let me tell you, you could be in a huge issue that you're facing, but there's nothing that is so great as experiencing the peace of God even in the midst of a problem. You know, the stillness in the midst of a rough sea, it comes down. It tells you that everything is going to be okay. And I believe in these uncertain times, what we need more than anything is peace. To know that God is going to help us. To know that God is going to be for us. To know that God is going to even help us in the midst of the problems that we are facing. Amen? To know that He is abundantly, and able to do much more than we even ask Him. Amen? Why? Because He loves us. He cares for us. Hallelujah. He is concerned about your well-being. Proverbs 16, verse number 3. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Can we say it together? Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Again. Again. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. You can go ahead and memorize that scriptures. Commit your plans to the Lord and your plans. That translation, like that translation, says, and your plans will be achieved. Amen? Commit your activities to the Lord. How do you commit your activities to the Lord? Committing your activities to the Lord is if before you set your foot, before you lift up your leg to go do whatever you want to do, it is telling God, God, this is exactly what I want to do. Father, if this plan, if this activity that I'm just about to do is not going to bring glory to you, or it is going to put me in a pit, or it's going to put me in a hole, Lord, may you put a blockade, may you hinder my progress so that I don't want to end up in a hole. Why? Because whenever we lift up the first foot to do whatever we want to do, we don't know what is going to be in the future. You might even not know what is going to be around the corner. But you know what? When you commit your plans to the Lord, He knows what is around the corner. What is obscure to your vision. Oh, hallelujah. See, right now, I don't know what might be happening in the fellowship area. Amen? I might be planning to go there, maybe glass of water, but maybe the place have just collapsed down there. But if I commit my plans to the Lord, you know, He might delay me going to the fellowship area so that I may not fall into the pit. So committing our activities to the Lord is telling God, even before we do it, Lord, how is this going to be? Lord, if this activity is going to be a blessing to my life, to my family, line up even divine connectors for me. Line up even people who are going to be helpers on the road for me. Hallelujah. There's nothing so sweet as when you know that whenever you're doing something, God is on your way. Amen? Because God is going to line up people who are going to help you out. Amen? People that you never expected, people that you never knew are going to be there ready to receive you just because you committed your plans to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And He says that your activities and your plans will be achieved. The mistake that we all do, and I am included in this, sometimes we say, I got this, you know? And that's what the Americans say. They say, I got this, brother. Have you ever seen a man, you know, carrying so many, you know, a lot of groceries, and he's pushing a cart on his side, and you're like, wait a minute, can I help you? Oh, no, I got this. In my heart, I'm saying, no, you don't got it. You didn't get it, you know, you don't got it. You don't got this. You need some help. Or somebody is, you know, maybe trying to, he has a fire folder and maybe his hands are full and he's trying to open a door with his body and you're trying even to help him open up the door and he says, oh, no, no, don't worry, I got this. You don't got it. You got what? I wish God would open up our physical eyes and you see how you don't got it. Yeah? You think we have this, but we don't have it. Oh, I have this job that is so lined up. Oh, I talked to the secretary and I talked to the boss of this organization. And on Monday, I'm going to go there. And you know what? And you have this confidence and you're going up there. Only to be told, oh, you know what? They hired somebody last week. And you say, oh, I got this. No, you don't got this. You go kneel on your knees and tell God, there is this job that has been assigned for me. Lord, if plan that I may join this company. Lord, may you line up situations. May you open up the doors. Line up divine helpers for me. Before I cannot make it without you, Lord, may you put somebody in place so that whenever I go to them, they will not see my physicality.
but they will see a child of God. Oh my God. Do you know how beautiful it is whenever you present yourself and people don't see your accent? People don't see your color? People don't see your name? Huh? I was being told the other day, somebody was stopped by a cop the other day, and they looked at their driver's license, and they looked at their name, and it's a name that they could not pronounce. And said, "How do you say your last name?" And you know the way you say your last name, and somebody tries to pronounce it in not the way it is pronounced. And say, "Where would you have your papers?" Just because he had a different last name, do you have your papers? He said, I don't go around carrying my papers. You know, you don't go along carrying your passports and in the car or anything. And so the policeman just went up there and went to the car and was checking out everything. And he found that this guy was okay. It is very, let me tell you, people can profile you because of the way they look at you. And because of the way you speak. And because of the way you present yourself. But I would rather people look at me as a child of God. When God clothes you with his glory, when God clothes you as a child of God, whenever you present yourself to God, they are going to even salute you, because they are not looking at you. They are looking at a son of the living God. They are looking at a person who has been glorified. They are looking at a person who has been clothed with glory. Hallelujah. And that's why even sometimes when we talk to people, you feel intimidated by maybe an office. You feel intimidated by the driveways. You know. Let me tell you, when I was looking for a house and I was driving through this neighborhood, I saw the houses, and you know, I've not even decided to live there, but just driving by the neighborhood, I was feeling intimidated. How can people live here? You know, you feel like somebody's going to stop you. You feel like even a policeman is going to come from nowhere and ask you, "What are you doing in this neighborhood?" Because you feel like you do not fit. Have you ever been in like that? You know, you look at yourself and you say, "Hi, how do people even live in this such beautiful neighborhood?" And you want to get out of there as soon as possible. Listen, my brother and my sister, whenever God raises your feet, walk tall and stand tall like a child of God, because you have been clothed with glory. You have been clothed with the honor. And you know what makes the difference? I talk to God in the morning, and I know you may not know about it, but because I talk to God in the morning, things are going to be okay. Hallelujah. It makes the difference when you call upon the name of the Lord. I know that you may not understand what I'm talking. I know that you may ask me, "What did you say?" many times, so that you can get the context of what I'm trying to say, because I may not be really expressive to you. But at the end of the day, you are going to see the child of God who is standing here, shining and filled with glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, fill us with this super, super normal awareness that there's nothing that is bigger than us. Hallelujah. You know what? These things can happen. Challenges can happen to any one of us. And it doesn't matter your status of life. You could be having money in the bank. You could be the most humble person. But when God allows things to come to you, they can come to you to shake you up. If you didn't understand what I'm talking about, ask Mr. Job. Job, the Bible says that he was wealthy. Hallelujah. The Bible says, you read the first chapter of the book of Job, the Bible says he was wealthy and blameless. But the devil was doing his rounds in heaven, and he happened, you know, to collide with God. And hey, God, have you considered your most humble servant Job? And God gives a testimony to the devil and tells him, "Job is so blameless. He's a man. I hear his calls every morning. His calls are registered every single moment. And in his activities, his good deeds has also reached my presence." He said, "Nah. This guy is just doing that because, you know, you've given him wealth, you know, and if you remove his wealth, if you'd remove his children from his presence, this guy would just stop serving you." He said, "Oh yeah?" God says, "Oh yeah? Are you sure?" "No, I don't think that's the case. I know Job. I have his testimony." Hallelujah. And you know what? That's what the devil does on us, about us, every single moment. He didn't stop during Job only. Or it's not just recorded in the Bible. You don't know how many times the devil has gone into the presence of the Lord regarding you. Hey, have you considered my servant Carol? Caroline. She's blameless and she's prayerful. Have you not protected her because of... is she not serving you because of this protection and great wire around her? Every time I try to send some demons to go and harass her, they cannot even reach her because she's surrounded by this precious wall of blood of your son Jesus. Let me tell you, if you didn't know, there is a wall of the blood of Jesus Christ around you. I said there's a wall of the blood of Jesus around every believer. Wherever you go, when you're driving, when you're working, wherever you are, this wall moves around with you. Amen? And so God tells the devil, okay, you go touch him. You know, go remove, you know, put your finger on his property, put your finger on his cattle, put your finger even on his children. You know, the guy will still serve me. Because it is not because of what I have given him. Hallelujah. It is not because of the blessings that he serves me. It is not because of the wealth that I've given him that he serves me, but because he serves me because of who I am. May we serve God because of who he is. Hallelujah. Not because of what he has done for us. Not because of his hedge of protection, but we are going to serve God because of who he is. Hallelujah. God is the creator of this universe. When you know that God is the one who orders everything on this planet, we are going to serve him regardless of what he has done for us. And so the devil rushes out. Let me tell you, man, in one day, back-to-back messages to Job, before even he knows it, his children has been killed. Before even he knows, his cattle has been killed. Praise the Lord. In the course of one day, Job receives four messages, each bearing separate news that his livestock, servants, and his 10 children have all died due to the marauding invaders and natural catastrophes. Job tears his clothes and shaves his head in mourning, but he still blesses God in his prayers. And that's what I love most. But he still blesses God in his prayers. But still blesses God in spite of all these things that have come to him. How many of us are willing to bless God in spite of the challenges that we encounter? I know some people, some of us, and sometimes I've done it maybe in my life. A challenge really comes into my life and I feel I don't even want to pray. I don't even want God. I don't even want to talk to anybody that is connected to God. I feel like God has deserted me. And so in a government, in a strike. But in spite of all these things that happened to Job, I mean, how do you reconcile this information, Pastor John, that your children have been killed, all your cattle have been killed, your servants are dead, and you are left without anything, and still you're going to bless God? You're still going to bless God? And you've read the book of Job, how he went through so much. His body was filled with souls. As a matter of fact, his wife told him, just curse God and die. His close confidants came close to him and told him, you know what? I don't think you're going to make it. You're sick because God sent some, you've been a sinner. And this is why these things have been happening to you. You know? But at the end of the day, Job still blesses the name of the Lord. Amen. And he comes to a point whereby he's in an argument with God. God, why is it that people who are bad seem to receive justice and somebody who is blameless like me, I am in agony and in pain. I even regret the day that I was born. And God comes and begins a conversation with him. But you know the end of the story of all this? Job recovers. He gets double for what he had. He even gets even other children. And God restores everything double for his trouble. Amen? So when you think that you've come to the end of yourself, there's something within you that is able, that God is able to put in his, inside of you to tell you that you can do this. Amen? And Job was able to conquer through the help of God. Hallelujah. Look at the man like Abraham. He was given a promise. You know, And I was wondering, why didn't God even come and show up? I mean, when Abraham was still vibrant and young, to give him a son. I mean, I'd got to wait until the guy was 87 years to give him Ishmael. And by the way, Ishmael was not even a son of promise. You know, he waited upon God until he felt like, oh, this is not going to work. You know? And you know the story of what happened. Sarah told Abraham, I think God has forgotten. Or, you know, the promise probably is going to come through my maid servant. And Sarah gives Abraham his maid servant, and they get Ishmael. But God still says that I'm going to bless Ishmael. I'm going to bless your mistake. Hallelujah. Think about that. God says, I understand this. See how God is so man. God is so loving. And how many times we've done like Abraham. I know we point a finger at Abraham, but sometimes we think, oh, I think this one has taken too long. To Peter, twee. Shortcut. Shortcut. But God says, even in that shortcut, I'll still bless you. How do you like God blessing your mistakes? Because he blessed, he said, even Ishmael, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to give him 12 princes. Amen? But that is not what I intended. God, I want to teach you a lesson here. I want you to understand that from the inception of this world, I planned that you would get a son called Isaac. Yeah, 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 yeah. How many of you are waiting for some Isaacs that have taken too long? For too long a time you've waited and you've waited and you felt, I think this Isaac is not coming. And sometimes you've ended up with an Ishmael. But God has not deserted you yet. He is still waiting on you. He is still telling you, I will do it for you, my son. And God comes at a... Jesus. At 100 years, that is when... I mean, can you imagine of 100 years, man? At God came at 100, in fact, I was reading the Bible, and it's like I never read. Abraham, when the angel came and told him that I'm going to give you a son even after Ishmael was born, Abraham fell down on the floor, and he was asking with his heart, 100-year man, and my Sarah is 90. How are we going to do this? See, we are concerned about, we are looking at our physicality. Abraham is looking at how... At 100, well, he's gone. I mean, there's no power, there's no energy. At 100, there's no performance. He's not cannot do anything. And 90, even Sarah laughed when they remember God came in the form of the three men that came by their home, and she was preparing some chakula for some food for them to eat, and they said that you're gonna get a promised child through Sarah. Sarah laughed. And the angels and the God himself, the man who came as God, they knew, why did you laugh? And Sarah said, I didn't laugh, my Lord. But they knew she laughed. But you know why she laughed? At 90, my eye mekwenda. I mean, there's nothing. Your uterus is completely twisted. It's gone. Oh, yeah, see, that's not true. At 90, have you ever had somebody giving a birth at 90? If you had conception at 90, you would be bedridden for the whole 9 months. In fact, we'll be with IVs everywhere. Huh? Sindio, you are medical people. You know that. But Sarah, at 90, that's when she has... You know what God did? God said, it is time to show up in this situation. It is time for me to show up in this situation. People have completely written you down. People have completely said it cannot happen in your home. People have completely said that it will never happen in the Dumias family. But let me tell you, when God says, I am showing up. Guys, I am showing up regardless of what people have said. And I will make myself known that I am the one who did it. Because let me tell you, can you imagine the 90-year-old mama? You know, like I see women when they are pregnant, they go like this. A 90-year-old with a white hair. Going like this and people actually looking on the streets and wondering, on what happened really? Is this an accident really? No, it was not an accident. It was not an accident. You know, and you can see, you know, let me tell you, there are things we just speak in our hearts, we don't even talk. And we say, what was that man thinking? This woman is 90 years old now. And she's like this, she cannot do anything. But let me tell you, when the power of God hit that 100-year man, Jesus, he became like a 20-year-old man. He says, where is Sarah? Because God has come.
Let me know.
What I'm trying to say, God is not limited with our time. God is not limited with our circumstances. God is not, let me tell you, you are bigger than what you can conquer anything. Hallelujah. Because when God has targeted you, Philister, it will never stop it. No man can stop what God has said to happen. Nobody can shortchange the plan of God. When God says that I will bless you, nobody can stop your blessings. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what people say about you. There is something. Think about this, that God saw the impotence in Sarah. And he said, you know what? All I need to do is just touch it. All I need to do is touch this man. And he is revived. I'm sure he felt some heat within him. You know? And he felt something he has never felt before. Or maybe he felt it when he was in his early 50s. You know? This feeling that I'm feeling, it's been 40 years now. It's been 50 years since I felt this. Huh? What is happening? And Sarah looked at the man and said, whoa, what's going on? But God had touched them. God had touched the man. So it doesn't matter. Hallelujah. When God intends, there's so much in you. Look at Moses. Guys, look at Moses. When God told him that you'll be a deliverer of the children of Israel, do you know how many arguments that he had with God? Moses, in the first place, was a stammerer. He said, God, I can't make this. Huh? Have you ever met those people? They cannot express themselves. I have never. So how are you going to use a stammerer like that to go and talk to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go? Yeah? I've never done that this before. So what are you going to do, God? What am I going to do? Go and tell them that the great I am has sent you. Amen? And he says, oh, what is the sign? And almost a whole two chapters dedicated to the arguments of Moses and God, telling him, how am I going to do this? And let me tell you, I don't blame Moses, because sometimes when I feel like I want to do something, I feel the same. God, how am I going to even start? I don't even know how to do this. Lord, you know where I come from. Lord, you know we have 1,000 reasons why we cannot do a thing. But when we know whose we are, and that when God touches you just like this, oh my God, it makes all the difference. And you know what happened? And Moses, God asked Moses, what is in your hands? Hallelujah. He only had a shepherd's stick. And he says, what is this? This is just a regular shepherd's stick. Put it down and became a snake. My God, what do you have in your hands? What do you have in your mouth? What do you have in your heart? Oh, it to God. You have something that is so great that you have. If God would just force you to pay a visit to what resides inside of you, there is nothing that can stop you. Nobody can stop you, Sister Elizabeth. Oh, hallelujah. There is greatness in you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And finally, we know the story how it ended up. Moses, finally, through God, he delivered the children of Israel into the promised land. Amen. He was not a perfect man, but he had connected himself with God. And he finally surrendered his heart to the Lord, and he was ready to be used of God. Let me tell you, if only you, it doesn't matter who you are, only one thing, you can right now, my God, you can right now go to God and tell him, God, I come just as I am. This is what I want to do. And God will do wonders in your life. People can fly everywhere in the world to come and see you and visit with you because of what God is doing in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Noah. Noah, a man who after God, he was the only person who was righteous in his day. And Noah received instructions to build an ark. Do you know how long it took Noah to build an ark? In those days, there was no technology like Caterpillar. You'd go to Caterpillar and order a grader to come and pull up big bow to come and build up an ark. Do you know how long it took Noah to build an ark? How many years? Seven?
Let me tell you.
Do you know how long it took Noah to build an ark? 100 years. That's how it took. 100 years. He received a set of instructions. And that he was not just building. People were coming and laughing at him when he was maybe carrying these long beams with his donkeys and maybe with his camels. He received the instructions 40 years ago. Maybe the ark is quarter full. And he's pulling and he's old. And he's continuing to build. And he's continuing to build based on a promise that God told him, build an ark because I am going to reign on this earth. God told him 100 years ago that I'm going to destroy this earth through rain. And people came, you doing, you foolish man. They laughed at him, scorned at him. But finally, the Lord told him, well, job done, Noah. Close the door, for I'm just about to fulfill the promise that I gave you 100 years ago. And let me tell you, the guys that were laughing at Noah, the rain started, and they thought this is just, you know, El Nino. Itaisha too within a week. It has started, and it started, and it started getting like Katrina where it was up here, and it started to go. And they would bang on this was the only refuge, knocking, open up the door, we are dying. But they, you know what? The Lord had closed the door to the ark, but he was persistent in what God had given him. And he looked at the promise and he didn't give up. He was never weary. But he built the ark with his sons. And it was a big old ark. And he brought all the animals of the earth and his children. And they were the only ones that were saved. Amen. Noah would have, I mean, he had many options. Oh, God, I mean, could have forgotten. It's the 50th year. I'm abandoning ship. I cannot build it anymore. On the 99th year, maybe he gave up. He said, no, this is not going to. See, God never told him it's going to take 100 years. He never told him that. But he told him, I want you to build an ark because I want to destroy this earth. Because there's perversion in the world. Amen? What I'm telling you is, if we can persevere in God, if we can just get connected with God, God is going to do immeasurably what you have never imagined in your life. Amen? Do not look down upon yourself. When you hear reports people are being rounded up, say they can round up everywhere in the United States of America, but they are not going to round me. I'm not going to be among them. There is power in the words that you speak. Your words are creative. God gave you the words to speak. And that's why God said that we have been made like God. Hallelujah. He just spoke words and said, let there be, and the world was. If you say, oh, I don't want to go because on they are rounding people. I don't even know what to pass by there because there might be hijacked. Let me tell you, pass there, you're going to be locked up. But you say, I am going to drive through this I-30 right now because I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter whether they're rounding people. I am not going to be rounded. I am going to stay here. And that is the word of God concerning me. Let me tell you, you might look crazy, but that's exactly what is going to happen. Nobody is going to touch you. Nobody is going to knock on your doors. You're going to be hidden. They're going to be looking on opening up files. And the way they are, if there are files that they are opening up to see where you live, they might be opening up. It's going to page 6 where your name is. They'll skip. Oh, what were you saying? What was that happening? And they're turning the page without even knowing. Oh, why were you? Number 7. It can happen because God wants to protect you. God has many ways to protect you. Declare a word and it shall be established. Hallelujah. Stand on your feet, everybody. Declare a word and it shall be established. You have what it takes to succeed. You have what it takes, the potential inside of us. Oh God, help us to have visit, oh Lord. Oh God, open I organize a cruise for us. Organize a journey for us. Let us pay that. We want to go inside of us. Let us visit the corner that holds the potential inside of us. And God, I don't want you to get this alone. God, you can say, I got this. Lift up your right now.
the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what has been said about you. I don't know what issues that are yet to come in your life. But I want you to lift up your right hand right now and say, God, I want to be connected with you. God, I want to commit my ways to you. God, I commit my wiles unto you. The things that I may not even know how to do to go about them, Lord, I commit them to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Show me how I may go. Show me how I may go about this issue. Right now, in the name of Jesus, begin to speak to the Lord right now. Is there anything that is too hard for me? Says the Lord. Call upon me and I will show you things that you may not know. Yes, God is willing to show you things that you may not know. God is willing to lead you and to guide you. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, pray, church. Come on, pray, church. Pray, pray now. Pray. Tell God to help. Tell God that you commit your lives unto Him. Tell God that I'm committing my ways unto Him. I'm committing all my activities to you, that it shall come to pass. I'm committing my ways to you. I'm committing my life to you. I'm committing the life of my children, the life of my spouse. I'm committing my friends. I'm committing my relatives. I'm committing my parents to you. The lives of my brothers and my sisters, I'm committing them to you in the name of Jesus. May you lead me. May you guide me in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are thanking you because you are God. Father, you are the one who put energy in Abraham and Sarah that you came the 11th hour when everybody had given up on them. Lord, you chose to show and to show on his behalf in the name of Jesus. Father God, you came through Noah and he suffered long, long. Building that ark. Never gave up, Lord. You used Moses, Lord, even to do a heavy task of bring the children of Israel from captivity. Lord, I thank you because if you do it for him, you can also do it for us, Lord. Father, we thank you. Allow us, Father, to visit that place within us that holds everything that says that we can do this with you. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. The many times we've taken upon ourselves to do things our own. And we never succeeded in it. We never made it. Simply because we never asked of you. Father, we are asking you to lead and guide us in your ways. That you may be glorified in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I commit these families, these new children that are here, Lord. Whatever anyone is going through right now, may you reveal your power to them. Show them that you are able to handle this. Because there's nothing that is too hard for you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise and we honor your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise again, church. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen.